pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Hours here. Welcome back. We'll find out about a report in Charleston today that indicates that Clemson is about to leave the ACC. I know nothing about it, but we'll talk to the author of it. And I say I know nothing about it because this newspaper is behind a paywall. And those of us here at the show refuse to pay for what you can get free elsewhere. Let's continue with Michael in Colorado. Hello, Michael. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How's it going? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
We're doing great.
I just had a couple questions. I know, calling from Colorado, but I'm actually a Gator. It seems weird these days. But actually born and raised in Gainesville. Went to Florida State, though.
Just had
a quick question. I listened to a couple other podcasts about the Gators, and I heard one guy, I'm not one of the guys that's saying get rid of Billy, but listened to one other podcast, and they said that's not a chance this year. I just had a question. Do you think it's a wait-and-see game for the Gators until we get Lagway, or do we need an offensive coordinator? What are your
I think Saturday could be very revealing. A win Saturday, and there's always two sides of every game. A win, and I think people are really going to start feeling better and maybe some adjustments to move up in class. But a loss is going to open the questions about what you just referred to. I think it's very dangerous waiting for the next guy because you don't know how long it's going to take for him to develop.
Yeah, that's what I was worried about, you know, because I know we've got Mertz for another year, and I think he's actually played pretty well above most people's expectations. But, yeah, I was just curious about that. And you think Kentucky, they haven't really played many people. Do you think they're actually decent, or look on them?
I am really intrigued by this game, not only because we'll be there all weekend, but I just think there's so many factors here. And Georgia is standing behind everyone. A win by Kentucky, and they head to Athens next weekend, and we may really see something that we haven't seen all year with the Dogs. And same thing for Florida. A win here, and you know they'll be in great shape. When we get to Jacksonville. So I'm somewhat unclear on this game. I want to talk to the coaches when we get there Friday and get a little more information. Thank you for the question. Appreciate it. Jay is in Mobile. Good afternoon.
Roll Tide, Paul. How's it going today?
Very well.
Paul, I got a couple things I'd like to discuss. First, I hear a lot of discussion, social media, callers, guests, etc., all bashing LSU for the slim margin on their win. Let me tell all you people out there something. A win is a win in the SEC. I even hear you say it sometimes, Paul. I heard you say it earlier. Oh, well, your team only won by 3 points. A victory is a victory. I promise you, you ain't going to hear no player or no fan say, well, we won, but we only won by 3 points. Paul, in the SEC matchup, between any two teams, regardless of what the scoreboard is, there's a battle going on that field. There's some heads getting hit.
Well, thanks for that breaking news there, Jay. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Benny in Lake Charles. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, thank you.
I have been watching the show today and just listening to, you know, what you were saying about LSU's next two games coming up against Ole Miss and Missouri. And, yes, those are two big games that LSU's got to take very serious. But since Alabama lost to Texas, Alabama's last two victories have not been that convincing victories. I mean, both of them have been 14 points. Do you think if LSU goes into Ole Miss and would say beat Ole Miss by 14 or by 17 or whatever, what what do you think that does for the LSU-Bama game? Does that, should that make LSU still be worried about it, or just look at it like, okay, we probably have
I'll answer it this way. I think if LSU wins this game Saturday, they are going to fly into Tuscaloosa in a month with all, you know, with all the momentum and confidence. To me, this is the critical game. I don't think Missouri is in the same league as Ole Miss. I think in spite of Ole Miss's performance last week, they're capable and they're dangerous because they have a lot of weapons. So to me, LSU survives, and I think that's what they did against Arkansas. And I don't know how many games Arkansas will win, but you know, if Rocket Sanders were to come back, I think they would have a chance to pull some of these upsets, and LSU was fortunate. But I think this is the game for LSU before Tuscaloosa.
Okay, so, I mean, even though it's still Nick Saban walking the sidelines.
Yeah, well,
But Benny, you
have to – I mean, I feel like if LSU gets out of Oxford, they will be undefeated in the SEC in Tuscaloosa. I don't know what to make out of Alabama. I think Alabama's game against A&M and Arkansas, and then there's also Tennessee. So their path is far more treacherous than LSU's, assuming LSU wins Saturday.
Yeah. Well, I have another quick question I don't know if you're familiar with, but Gary Goff, he's a head coach here at McNeese.
Mm-hmm.
Is he a capable of coach? Is he a kind of a coach that can turn a program around, or is it something that, is undecided?
Yeah, I know who he is, and I'm familiar with McNeese's program. I've seen them play games since I was a little kid. I don't know enough about him to give. I mean, I've heard good things about him, but that would be limited information to give you what you're looking for. Is that the place where Ogeron is on the Ogeron's kids are on the staff?
Yeah, his son was quarterback last year.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it, Paul.
Thank you, Benny. I'll try to get some more information on McNeese, but I'd hate to be overly expansive on a subject I know very little about. I'm sure some of you are saying that's every subject. Elliot is up next.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call. I think Jeff nailed it. I love that call. I think it's about jealousy with this Ryan Day stuff. Even your last guest, Nicole Osterbach, said that the top three teams don't include the SEC. She has Ohio State as number three. I think that the Heisman candidates are all coming from schools that are going to the Big Ten. I think that the NIL is changing football. I think there's less relevance in the SEC right now. I think it's all about jealousy. That's why we got to talk about Ryan Day. That's why we got to throw shade that way, because there's nothing to talk about with the SEC right now.
I realize you're from Ohio, so therefore you don't hear well when it comes to SEC football. But what Ryan Day did was wrong for this reason. His team had just won a significant victory. I mean, going into Notre Dame, winning in the standalone game. And he made it all about some grievance with an old man in Florida. And that's what I object to. Who cares what Lou Holtz says? And he also revealed that what Lou Holtz said was true. I've seen all those games that Holtz talked about. In every one of them, the Buckeyes were out-physicaled. So why get angry? Just celebrate. I mean, you're winning. You just won. And you were fortunate to win. It took a boneheaded decision by the other coach. And then you throw it all away because you got some deranged mentality about grievance. We'll take a short break. Gene Sapochnik, who dropped a bomb on everybody today, saying Clemson wants out of the ACC, either into the SEC or the Big Ten. We'll find out what it's all about right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We saw a story earlier that got our attention. Gene Sapochnik, who's here often from Charleston, And I say we saw a headline. Gene's paper does not allow us to read his pieces without handing over our firstborn. Anyway, Gene Sapochoff joins us now talking about Clemson, not only the football program, which is struggling right now, but possibly moving in sometime in the near future. So, Gene, good afternoon. Tell us all about it. Save us the money of going to your website.
Okay, I'd always like to save you money, Paul, so you'll have more to spend at the beach at Kia when you come to Charleston. But okay, so yeah, so Clemson administrators are telling me over the last few weeks, and I mean, I've talked to these folks for quite a while over the years, that, you know, Clemson's move somewhere out of the ACC is coming soon, probably, no, likely in 2023. Clemson's been politicking all over the place, including with their arch rival South Carolina, to try to kind of soften South Carolina's hard stance against Clemson coming into the SEC. And you can understand why that would be, recruiting edges that the SEC brings and stuff. And Clemson's very certain that that Association of American Universities thing from the Big Ten would not prohibit the Big Ten from giving Clemson membership. And yeah, Clemson administrators and fan base, there's no doubt about it. They prefer the SEC, but a Big Ten with a Southern wing of some kind would be okay too. As to the specifics of who would be in that Southern wing, I'm not really sure about that, but Clemson is an old ACC rival of Maryland. Penn State's not farther than Boston College, Syracuse, Pitt, et cetera. And then meanwhile, I also was reporting that South Carolina, and I've talked to their very high-ranked administrative people, are in no uncertain terms, do not want Clemson in the SEC. And Shane Beamer said as much, you know, in August in his media day address in Columbia, where he didn't specifically name Clemson, but went on and on about the recruiting advantages that he has in the SEC, and that he felt sorry for some of the schools we play regularly that don't have these SEC advantages.
I know you didn't call me as a source, but I think I can confirm some of what you just said about South Carolina not wanting Clemson in the ACC. Okay, this is all great, Gene, and I know that you know what I'm about to ask you next. How do they get out of the ACC?
Yeah, so you're talking about the grant of rights.
That would
be $120 million exit fee, and Paul, you and Tebow combined probably couldn't pay that off. Plus, you know, but the thing is, they're $30 million every year, and that's growing. The ACC, you know, payout per school, media rights behind the Big Ten and the SEC, that's just untenable for Clemson, for Florida State, for North Carolina, probably for some other schools that, you know, would want to join the party. I'm not sure exactly who those are. You see all kinds of names. How would they get out? One, that they feel that it's negotiable. They feel that ESPN would somehow help. They know that the SEC is not going to help, and there's zero chance the SEC in any way, you know, pays off any of that. But I think, Paul, the bottom line is it's negotiable, and especially if there's strength in numbers that are constantly complaining, and constantly is getting to be pretty much the word with Florida State, North Carolina, and Clemson, you know, whining a lot about this ACC situation.
Gene, there's been a lot of talk with Florida State's rise recently that they're helping their cause. And I don't personally think that any commissioner is paying much attention to what teams do week to week. They're looking down the road with their television affiliates. But Clemson is not helping anyone's cause lately. Two losses in the month of September. What's going on?
Well, as far as the cause, though, Paul, I've talked to, you know, ESPN and SEC and Big Ten people, and Clemson making six straight college football playoffs and that brand and the fans and where they are in recruiting, they've established themselves. I know they're having a bad season. But, yeah, it's pretty hard to be 2.5 games behind Florida State when you've only played two games in the ACC so far. And, yeah, as Dabo said, maybe no other team will hold Florida State to 17 points in regulation. But it's definitely gotten pretty ridiculous. And last place in the ACC isn't good. Even when you're eighth nationally in total defense, 21st nationally in total offense, but turnovers, a missed 30-yard field goal from a kicker they literally got off the beach in Charleston a few days before, and no help whatsoever from the portal. That's Clemson's problem right now.
Gene Sapikoff with us. Gene, in terms of your sources, and I know you've moderately well to say that you've covered this program and others in South Carolina for a lifetime. So when you're putting something in print, you're just not tweeting it out like some reporters to get hits. I mean, this is something that you feel pretty good about. So help us better understand, back to the initial question, if it is negotiable, what does the timetable look like?
Yeah, first of all, I want to make clear, and I think I did in my column, which I don't blame you for not paying to see, because, you know, it costs a lot. But I didn't say that they're going to the SEC. I don't know where they're going. They just say, the administrative officials that I've known for a long time, that they're going somewhere, and it's going to be in 2023. How they would get out of it, they think they can negotiate this down, that the combination of the money, the extra money they would make going to the SEC, they can bite the bullet, but that one untenable situation versus a difficult negotiation is worth the jump, is the essential thing. The specifics, I don't know. That's going to be up to the lawyers, but maybe the combination of North Carolina lawyers, Clemson, Florida State, and who knows who else can help get them out of that.
Gene, you said 2023. There's not that much time left in this year.
No, and I realized that. And I'm going to tell you exactly how it went. My question, do you think this could happen by the end of this year? And this, two sources, sooner. So I'm saying 2023, but, you know, I also put in this call, and I'm glad you said you didn't read it, I guess, so I'll be able to tell you this, but I said there is a possibility that Clemson, North Carolina, Florida State, et cetera, are trying to pressure the ACC into tearing up this grant of rights and starting a new one, or doing something to assuage these schools, which as at least North Carolina, Florida State, and Clemson, that voted against the ridiculous addition of Stanford, Cal, and SMU, designed as an ACC backfill for when they lose these other schools, at least those three, you know, they think they can somehow get out of this.
And Gene, I mean, I think there's something here, because I had somebody tell me within the last couple of months that there is a just doomsday scenario, that and the doomsday scenario for the ACC is to hit the reset and quit having all this contention, because one thing about the SEC, and you know this, knowing Greg Sankey, that his calling card is collegiality. It's the fact that they, even on the tough subjects like A&M not wanting Texas a couple years ago, the vote was still 14-0. It may not really have been that in terms of feelings, but that's how the public persona is, and that's one reason why the SEC has prospered. And it just seems like Jim Phillips seems like a really smart guy. You know, it has to stop the bleeding at some point, doesn't he?
Yeah, here's two thoughts on the ACC situation. We have a lot of nice restaurants here in Charleston in the historic district. If even if it's a really nice restaurant and doing well, if there's a bunch of chefs walking outside the door every day with picket signs saying things like, we don't like this place, at some point you have to address that. The ACC is just going to have to negotiate this at some point. And as for the SEC, Greg Sankey, very, very smart, smartest guy in the room in college football, obviously, in 2022 at SEC Media Days, that is to say a year ago this last summer in Atlanta, said with regard to their potential expansion, we will be thoughtful and nimble, not taking action but reacting. And I think if the Big Ten were to try to make a move into – you know, SEC footprint, they may react.
Gene, this was just my observation. I don't cover the ACC like you do, but of those three schools, even though they all fit, it just seemed like what Florida State did at that frat house board of trustees meeting a couple weeks ago hurt them badly. Where North Carolina and even Clemson have both been under the radar, at least until your column today.
Yeah, I'm not so sure what the SEC thinks exactly. I've been trying to get this out of them about North Carolina and Florida State. I know for sure that aside from Notre Dame in the next realignment plum, North Carolina, the Tar Heels stick out way above everybody else because it's uncharted territory for both the Big Ten and the SEC.
Right.
And it's the ninth or 10th most populous state, blah, blah, blah. You know all that.
No, I think that's true. And I think it could very well, as we wrap this up, could come down to a decision, at least from an SEC standpoint, is, you know, who do you want? Is Clemson more attractive than Florida State? And, you know, they both have similar issues, but Clemson does not have the issue of literally making fools out of themselves like Florida State did a couple of weeks ago.
And they're very conscious of that and trying to be extremely diplomatic and working both sides of the room, meaning the SEC and Big Ten parts. And, hey, maybe the SEC, Paul, even prefers a Virginia to Clemson or Florida State.
Gene Sapochoff with a major story today in the Post-Courier in Charleston. Gene, thank you. We will talk to you soon. We'll talk more about this subject in a moment as we come back. More to come.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And more of Alyssa on Out of Pocket coming up right after us. But let me assure you, we are not done yet. If you were just about to get out of your car at home or about to turn the TV off to have dinner, legend is next.
Stop what you're doing and listen up. Woo! The Ric Flair of the Paul Feinbaum Show, baby, has hit the stage. I'm not Liberace like Jill, and I'm not Willie Nelson like Iron Man, baby. Woo! I'm Elvis in the flesh. Paul's always good to talk to my black hat brother. Always good. Black hat crew, baby. Clint Eastwood, Pat McAfee, Tupac, Feinbaum and Legend, and Squirrel. In the handsome one! In the handsome one, baby! Woo! Loving it. Loving it, Paul. Loving it. Paul, I asked myself the question today. Can LSU lose to Ole Miss? What do you think, Paul? You think it's possible, baby?
Oh, I think it's entirely possible, yes.
Well, you know Brian Kelly. He'll trip now, Paul. He's a tripper. He's a day tripper. He'll trip. You know, I know y'all think he's the greatest thing since sliced bread, but I'm telling you now, he's a tripper. He'll trip. He's a tripper. He's been known to trip. But I ain't going to make no bet on this game, Paul, because I realize that Pete Golden is the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
And, hey, this ain't no lie right here, man. Neighbors liable to go for 300 yards against that secondary, man. That ain't no lie. Neighbors is a special player. A long line of LSU players, including Chase and Jefferson. Yeah, I'm old school. I know all about football, LSU fans. And I know your coach is a tripper. And if he trips Saturday, I'm going to laugh my ass off. Hey, Paul, it's good to hear from Squirrel, the old Cotillier of the Black Hat Crew, baby. Good to have Squirrel back.
He laid some smack down, and neither one of the smackaroonies have called.
Well, you know, Paul, they can't handle Squirrel. Squirrel, you know, man, Squirrel's a monster. That's why they made him Consigliere. I mean, Squirrel's a monster. It's glad to have him show up, man. I seen on the podcast yesterday, it said Legend versus Everyone. I said, where the Black Hat Crew's at? Where the Black Hat Crew's? Yeah, but he showed up and showed out. He's right about Jim, Paul. Jim's just a pathetic old geezer buzzard man. He was on here yesterday talking about legend fat. He's ugly. Let me tell you something, dude. I'm 60 years old, been through 1,000 wars. I'm just thankful to be walking every day. Don't get what I mean. I don't care if you think I'm good looking. I think it's kind of funny that somebody thinks somebody good looking anyway. I mean, come on. Ain't no woman want a good looking man. They want a rugged man like me and Feinbaum. Paul, you get up every morning worried about how good you look.
No, I do not. I've given that up. I gave that up when I was 16.
Hell yeah. And so does that 12-year-old moron. But, Paul, hold up. Hold up, Paul. We got a flag on the play. Got a flag on the play, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go down to the official. 15 yards for unnecessary stupidity and ignorance on that basement weasel dweller, Jeff from Ohio. There's the flag on the field, ladies and gentlemen. And I just have to agree with the referee. Let me tell you something, Jeff. We don't care if it's ESPN, FS1, Apple, Charter, whatever the hell. Only thing we care about is the games coming on, dude. It's 24 hours of 7 of sports. Folks are going to make predictions. They're going to make dumb statements. That's what happens when you have 24-hour sports a day. But we love it, and we listen to it, and you're a damn moron, just like your coach is a damn moron. You're both a little weasel, little bitty men, want to point out something that you ain't got the kahunas to stand up to in real damn life. Keep your mouth shut, and let me tell you one more thing, buddy. Your little mind probably don't get out of Ohio, but primetime went worldwide. They're interested in Japan. They're interested in Europe. I know your little bitty mind can't get out of Ohio, but that's worldwide, dummy. So keep your mouth shut, and we don't want to hear no more about any damn network. Now, Paul, if I get out of here, I got one more thing to say. Tonight, I may cash in $2,500, thanks to my friend Case Kiefer, the sports editor of the Las Vegas Sun, who advised me when the season started to take my Orioles at 25-1 to win the AL East. Yeah. And, hey, Paul, Brooks Robinson died yesterday.
I was really sad to hear that. I grew up with him as you did, and he's one of the greatest players ever.
The human vacuum cleaner. You know, they said they love Reggie so much in New York, they named a candy bar after him. But they love Brooks so much in Baltimore, they named their children after him. He was an icon. We loved him. It's a big miss. But my Orioles about to take the East. Mando! Them Yankees are my Mets. Legend has left the building.
Cat Daddy is next.
I'm going to tell you one thing, Legend. Your bull crap is tired. I'm sick and tired of hearing your Ric Flair impersonation. So do us all a favor and go find a place where you can find something to live with. Because Legend is bullshit.
I could tell he was building. Most of you did not hear that, but we did. That's as upset as I've ever heard Cat Daddy. Let's calm down here with AJ.
Ready or not, here I come. You can run and you can hide, but I'm going to find you. I'm going to find you, squirrel. I'm going to find you, squirrel, because you know what? I know exactly what's went on. Legend's over there. His little black hat's bloodied up over there. Please, he done called him last night or called him this morning. I guarantee you. I promise you they've been in contact. You bail me out. Come on, bail me out, squirrel. You done climb out of that squirrel nest and bail me out, squirrel. Come on. Please, they beat me to death over here. I mean, let me tell you something, Paul. What does Alabama fans and Ryan Day have in common? They cry even when they're winning. They complain even when they're winning. A lot like Jeff does. All he does is he calls in here and he cries and whines and complains. He never calls about anything but to crawl up your tail or to tell you about the company you work for, or something to that effect. Cry, cry, cry. Everybody wants to cry all they can. Let me tell you this, Paul. I have to plug in. Who was that Red Bull for Batestown? I have to tell you, that was a pretty good call he had, Paul. I have to tip my blue and orange hat to him now. I'm going to tell you something. To hell with them black hats, they're a thing of the past. That's Abraham Lincoln days. We're wearing blue and orange hats now. And that's how we're going to roll from here on out. And legend, you're still weaker than a, you know, war eagle.
Show's almost over, in case you were wondering. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.